Welcome to the Leadership U podcast. Welcome to the Leadership U podcast. It's been a little while, but we are excited to be back. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Stephanie Bonilla. Stephanie has her degree from Regent University in strategic leadership, and she has worked with various nonprofits in a lot of different roles, leading teams, organizing systems, and she has a lot to say today, so you'll enjoy that. I'm also joined by my sister, Mia Angelakos, who has worked for several years at a church leading large teams of volunteers. So I know you are going to enjoy the show today. Just a warning, my sister and I sound very similar, but you'll be able to tell us apart because all the smart things are said by her. So you'll know who's who with that. But we had a lot of fun recording this, and I know you guys will enjoy listening to it. Today we are covering the topic that makes me cringe a little just thinking about it because it's a tiny bit uncomfortable, but so needed for leaders to discuss and to know how to go about it. So I hope you enjoy the show as we discuss conflict. I'm here with Stephanie and Mia, and today we are talking about controlled conflict. So that's conflict in general is a fun subject. Every time you bring it up, people get a little bit nervous.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, nobody
right?
likes confrontation.
Know anyone who likes confrontation? Do you have friends who like confrontation?
Actually, I do. I do have friends. Matter of fact, my sister loves confrontation. I think she loves to put, like, to really challenge people in the sense of, like, are you serious? Do you back what you say? Let's talk about it right now. Let's get it over with. She loves it.
I like that you just put your sister on blast right away. Stephanie's sister out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish I had her confidence though. I got to tell you that because conflict takes confidence to really encounter. And I wish I had it.
So have you guys experienced any conflict with your followers as leaders? Have you experienced stories where you're either your followers have had conflicts that you've had to kind of mitigate, or maybe you've had conflict with a follower?
Oh yeah.
I think a lot of times the conflict has happened, with the followers. I know when I was running the volunteers with like check-in and all that, it was always like the people who had problems showing up on time or they couldn't follow certain rules, you know, that created conflict. But there were times where the conflict was amongst the volunteers themselves, and that was always fun.
Like, well, goes for me too. Like coming from the standpoint of a supervisor maybe coming to me with some conflict, which, you know, I'm a pot stirrer. I love to cause issues. But I was reading your thing. Sorry to go switch gears a little bit, but I was reading your microblog, and I love one of the points that you made about listening is just as essential as talking when it comes to conflict. And I think that some of the most powerful ways to resolve conflict is through asking questions and listening. Because then when a supervisor has come to me with something, an issue, when they ask questions, I feel validated that they're trying to understand my perspective and my, like, trying to just, if you come to somebody and right away you're like, boom, 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 these are the areas that you need to work on, or this is the whatever, whatever. I think that like walls automatically go up and people may not be as open to what you're saying when you're correcting or when you're resolving the conflict. And so when you ask questions or just even take a few minutes to listen and just try to gain their perspective or whatever, then they're more open, I think. And when I was on the other side of it, I felt validated, and I felt like them taking the time to approach things from that angle made me much more excited to resolve it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And then sometimes too, honestly, a few times that I've seen conflict in our team, I go and then I start asking questions. I'm so glad I did, because otherwise I'd look like a complete fool because it wasn't even a big deal. Mm. Like in my head, I'm like, this thing is growing. What's going on? Da, 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 whatever. In my head, I'm going over and over it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to them or whatever. And then as soon as I just come up to them and ask a couple questions, I'm like, this is a non-issue. This wasn't even a thing. So it was resolved before I even had to talk to them about it, just by asking a couple questions.
No, that's a good perspective. That's good. So I guess we can jump into that, the listening part of resolving conflict, how listening plays an important role.
So as leaders, what are ways that we can listen to our followers, kind of from the perspective that we're picking up on conflict, like observing your followers to notice when conflict is happening so that it doesn't kind of get hidden under the rug or that it doesn't get ignored or swept away? Because a lot of times, I don't think followers will come up to us and say, hey, I'm experiencing conflict. They might not even know they're in the middle of a conflict.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts, Stephanie?
The kind of thing that hits me the first off is, and it kind of started with what Mia was saying, was how will we know if there's conflict if we don't listen to our, you know, our volunteers or those people who we lead? But at the same time, how do we know it's conflict at all if we don't know who follow us, right? And I think quality time is huge in that, to take time to spend with them, to get to know them, to see what, you know, drives them in certain ways. And I think that some of the blogs that you have already posted about, you know, getting to know your followers, getting to know who they are, it doesn't necessarily mean the quantity of time, it's the quality of time that you spend with them. And so you kind of figure out what kind of bothers them, what doesn't bother them, what they're good at, what they're not good at. And then you can listen from the right perspective, or you can listen almost efficiently. So you don't have to spend, you know, hours listening to them, because let's face it, not all leaders have hours to spend with their followers, unfortunately. But if you make it, you know, that quality time and that efficient time of listening to the right cues and, you know, the right things that make them tick, I think that really helps make the foundation.
But why do you think most leaders tend to shy away from conflict? So what we hear a lot of is leaders saying, you know, there is a conflict in my team, how do I deal with it? Or they tell us that there was a conflict a long time ago and they just let it kind of slip away because they didn't want to deal with it. So what do you think is one of the biggest issues for leaders, why they would not handle conflict?
I think it's the confrontation. I don't think many leaders like that confrontation of, you know, calling someone out on something or having to like walk someone through the process of conflict. I guess on their personality, like I'm not huge on resolving conflict like right at the moment. I definitely admit that sometimes I gave it a day or two because I don't want my reaction to the conflict to be, you know, explosive in that manner. But sometimes you have to deal with conflict one-on-one and right at the moment. And I guess correcting someone, especially if they're older than you, that's challenging. So that's one of the things that I think.
Back to it too. I think a lot of leaders just don't know how to handle it. They're not sure what to do. So when you see something escalating really quickly too, it kind of makes you nervous and your brain starts kicking in like either fight or flight mode, I would think. And I think a lot of leaders just tend to flight. But also I think from a follower's perspective, sometimes there's conflict within the team and their reactions are like, I'm right, you're wrong. And so that's what builds it. And there's as we let it continue as a leader, if we're letting our followers build conflict and it keeps building and building, then eventually something's going to explode and it gets out of hand. Is there anything that we can do to help our followers handle conflict in a positive way with a happy ending or win-win scenarios? Or if you've seen The Office, win-win-win-win scenarios.
I think it would be kind of cool to build that into the culture, right? So, you know, reading some of your articles, you talk about that open door policy with the leader, having that open door so followers can come in and out. I think building a culture where it's that open door, where if, you know, something offends you or something causes conflict, to you within the workplace to feel comfortable enough to address the person in a safe manner. Either, you know, build a room that, hey, when you have conflict, you come here, you bring the third person so they can hear you out. And you kind of build that in the culture so it becomes comfortable to go there. Or if it starts with, hey, can we have lunch? Or hey, let's grab a coffee at the local coffee house or whatever, let's talk it out. I feel like if leaders can really equip their followers with those tools, so that conflict isn't this big thing that we have in our head that we have to be fearful of, but it's something that, hey, it's just a conversation you have to have. And I tend to build it a lot, you know, on the biblical principles of how you approach someone first. And then if they don't listen, then you bring another, you know, party into the conversation. If still it's not managed, then it kind of escalates from there instead of just kind of going right above them and going straight to the leader and, you know, complaining, hey, this person said this to me. And it's kind of that simple thing that could have been resolved just with a conversation. So I think building that into the culture, communication is probably the key to that. So if as leaders we can build that in, then as followers we can feel more comfortable to bring that to the person.
Conflict shouldn't be
the first time you really engage in conversation with somebody, you should have be checking in, having quality time throughout every day, like just checking in with them, talking with them, seeing how they're doing, joking around. I think having fun with your volunteers makes, when you do have to have those serious conversations, it makes it so much easier because you have that relationship. And you can even do it, not to make it lighthearted, because it's usually a serious thing, obviously, when you're talking about conflict, but I think you can even kind of joke around a little bit, make it a little bit lighter, so it's not so heavy when you're dropping the hammer, you know, a light hammer, a baby toy,
gentle hammer,
bam.
No, I love that. That's so wise too. Just developing relationships before you have to handle conflict too is just smart, and it makes everyone feel safer too. Because we talk about on the Volunteer You blog, in our conflict blog, we talk about making our followers feel psychologically safe before we engage in conflict mm-hmm. resolution. So making sure that they know that they are a part of the team, they're validated, they're important, their issue is important, their perspective is important to us. We value them as a person, and we're not going to take any issues lightly. We want to handle it and deal with it. So making sure that they understand that they are part of a team, that they're important to us, that they're safe in voicing any concerns, and even addressing conflict, it's a safe area. And like Stephanie said too, creating a safe environment for them to handle that, I think, is very important just in general for the team. I think people are afraid of conflict and it kind of gets a bad rap, but I think conflict can also be really good for your team. It can make you closer. It can bring up issues that maybe you didn't realize were issues in the team and make your team stronger. What are your guys' thoughts on how conflict is a positive thing or can be a positive thing?
Well, it can, again, open up those gateways of communication. So people that have had conflict before, they can, you know, once they resolve it, they feel that confidence that things can be resolved. They can approach each other in a, you know, specific fashion. I don't know, but I've heard so many stories, and gosh, I probably have a couple friends like this, that when we were younger, we didn't like each other. And, you know, we hashed it out, whether it was a physical fight or it was a verbal fight, we hashed it out. And then we ended up being like the best of friends down the road. And that's kind of cool to feel like you've seen each other at the worst. And now you have nothing but good to go up. And so that's kind of cool how to deal with that conflict the first time around. If you deal with it properly and healthily, it can build relationships that really just push us all forward and on top. So
I love that everyone's had that experience with like their little friend as a kid. That's a good example. So as leaders, when our followers are exhibiting conflict within the team, so if the team is exhibiting conflict and as leaders we're watching this, we kind of want to let them handle it themselves first, right? Like just to see if they can grow as a leader themselves. They want to be able to handle the conflict. So we kind of watch them, but we're always ready to step in. So what are your thoughts on that as a leader? Have you experienced that with your team where you've kind of seen people engaging in conflict and you've stepped back to let them test the waters themselves and then had to step in? Have you guys ever had that experience?
Yeah. I'm thankful because on our team, for the most part, it usually doesn't even get to us, the leaders. So usually if we step back and let them do it, they'll take care of it for the most part. So that's good that there's not too much drama within the team. People are pretty considerate of each other. Yeah.
Is there anything you've done? Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, is there anything you've done to create that culture in your team where they know to,
it's a good question,
but no, there's no,
cause my boss, he has said up front, we're not about that. He's like, if there's an issue, talk to each other first. Cause people like to snitch. They like to kind of like rattle things, shake things up a little. And they'll be like, oh, did you hear so-and-so? Like it becomes like a little gossip central sometimes within volunteer teams, we just don't let that even be a thing. Like everyone supports each other, encourage each other. And if something comes up, taking that step back, we've noticed them resolve it really pretty well. And every once in a while, it does have to come to us if it gets to be. But the good thing is too, we work with adults.
I like how that was a question.
Yeah, because once I said it, I'm like, wait a minute, sometimes they're the worst culprits. But adult, for the most part, they're grown. So they act it. So that's nice. It's been working with, like, you know, a younger generation, but yeah, they're good.
Sometimes I rather work with kid volunteers, not gonna lie. The one of the biggest issues you have is making sure that parents get them out there on time. But when you work with adults, they're already so set in their ways. So it's very hard to mitigate through conflict sometimes because of that. I notice on my team, I tend to be the mediator for them. So I have to, you know, be in it, but enough out of it so that they're not looking for me to be on point with them. Like, right. This is how we do it. Right. Cause that's not what we want either. So it's just that comfort zone of, okay, like, we're going to respect each other, you know, we're going to move forward. And if it has to escalate above me to a different leader, then it can, if we have to have separate meetings. But it's funny how, when you do address conflict with adults, sometimes they, and you know, it, cause it starts with an email. It always starts with that email. Hey, you know, this is going on. And they get so angry. And it's like a vicious email sometimes. And you're just like, Lord, give me grace at how I'm going to respond to this person. And so when you do decide to, let's say, call them on the phone and you said, hey, and you start with apology, their walls come crashing down, whether you're sorry or not, or like whether, you know, you're sorry or not. That's pretty much it. You always want to ask for forgiveness for any inconvenience that you may have caused this person. So you don't have to necessarily say you're sorry, but you want, if you start with that apology of the inconvenience of how this has shaped them or affected them, then their walls come down and they're like, okay, what do I do from here? Because all I had was my anger to combat this person. And so then you get that raw, okay, let's now have a conversation and let's get down to the nitty gritty of what happened here and how do we find the solution? You know, it takes that explosive, almost anger reaction away from them. And then they're left with nothing but raw situation of what happened. And I feel like it levels the playing field for both sides.
Apologies always diffuse the situation right away. People just want to be validated. They want you to recognize that it was an issue. It's important to them and it bothered them. And by apologizing, you humbling yourself just like completely, like you said, breaks their walls down. But then two, another thing, when we're dealing with conflict, a lot of times the conflict that kind of arises to the top and that people are arguing over or dealing with is not the actual issue. So it is a result of a deeper issue. And I think as leaders, when we're working with our team, we really need to be observant of the types of conflicts that arise and see whether it is something that's an actual issue that the team can address themselves, kind of work through themselves. But as leaders too, I think it's important that we keep an eye on our team and know when red flags are being waved, you know, that there's maybe a deeper issue that we need to address and maybe pull aside the team member and be like, hey, I noticed you having a lot of conflicts lately with different people. Is there something else going on? Or are you having a hard time? So as an example, one time I was leading a group of teenagers and we had one teenager that would just was giving us a terrible time. She was picking fights with every other person in the group. And she almost started picking like a physical fight with one of the other people leading the group. And so I pulled her aside and out of the room and I was just like, hey, you know, what's going on? Is everything okay? And she's like, I'm just having a horrible day. And then she went on to explain how a teacher failed her for a quiz that she couldn't make because a family situation. And then we got to the family situation. So there's usually something a little bit deeper going on when conflict arises. So I think as leaders and even as other team members, like to be watching people on our team as a follower, as a leader, either way, and just, you know, paying attention to the cause of what might be happening. Yeah,
absolutely.
Other thing, I think we already talked about this, but I just wanted to make a note of it, is to expose the conflict right away. So like we said, conflict is uncomfortable. Most of the time we want to shy away from it, but it's really important to kind of nip it in the bud and not let it grow into something that could be really dangerous for the team and toxic for the team long-term. So how are ways as leaders that you have exposed conflict or dealt with it right away? Do you have any tips for leaders maybe dealing with followers?
I think one of the biggest issues, because I have been growing out of my reactive nature, and it's something that I'm intentional about, is if I go into a situation that has a potential of, you know, strike an emotional response, I first have to have that intentional perspective and mindset shift that says, hey, I'm going to go in here and anything that is said, anything that is dealt with, any situation that comes up, I'm going to keep my cool. And I have to tell myself that, you know, I'm going to keep my cool because I want to keep I want to diffuse the situation if I have to and not elevate it any more than what it could be. So that's my perspective shift is the first thing that I have to do. And I have to tell myself going into it. The other thing is just, again, seeing people as people, and being patient with them and understanding both sides of anything, because there's always two sides of it. And sometimes there's a third side that we don't see, that Z axis that goes through that we don't see that's underlying. So I think it starts with us, and then our demeanor and reaction can then, you know, really influence the environment.
From three people who avoid conflict, are not confrontational, I think we did a pretty good job unwrapping this.
Well, I was thinking about our niece Juliana. When she is in any environment that's not comfortable to her, she turns away from anyone that comes up to her. And that's what I'm like, that's what I want to do as an adult still. When there's conflict, I'm like, turn away. It doesn't exist. If I can't look at it, it's not even there.
I can't see you. Can't see
me.
That's
so unhealthy. That's the opposite of what you need to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
I think there's a lot of conflicts that occur because of the deep-rooted issues, and I feel like we touched on that a little bit. And I know one of the jobs I came into, I came in already rooted issues were already there, and so any conflict for any of my coworkers around me were rooted from that. And the thing is, since I wasn't there during that time, I didn't understand that conflict. I didn't understand how to deal with that team, because I came in, well, hey, listen, there's a problem here, let's just deal with it, like, let's get through it. But what I didn't understand was that it was rooted from years from before. So how do you mitigate that, where it's like the roots are so deep? How do you uproot them without uprooting them and just find that level ground together and move forward, you know, when you're new to the team? I think that's a really important part of coming into any job.
So what's your advice for that? How did you handle it? Lord.
I think I took, you know, one bite at a time. When situations would come up, I would try to deal with the person who was in the situation, and see what was the real issue. And if it was rooted down deeper without, you know, giving me more information, I kind of asked the person, is this something that, you know, you want to deal with, or is it something you want to grow from or move forward with? Because at that point, you know, not forgiving another person, you're drinking that poison, right? That's how that saying goes. You know, the person's not getting hurt, but you're hurting yourself. So how can we move on and control what we can control? Control us, control how we react, how we move forward, control what we let go, what we forgive, what we don't forgive, how we communicate, how we don't communicate, we can control that. And so my thing is encourage, you know, your team to control what they can, and to mature where they know they can, because not everybody's going to change. However, you can change yourself in the situation. So I think that's something that's big, but it's an intentional and mature and very hard mindset to get there too, because it requires humility. It requires confidence. It requires just perseverance to go through those situations and to deal with what you deal with and yet still come out successful on the other end. So I guess that's my advice.
No, that's great advice. I think that's exactly it, to make sure people understand, like, we can handle whatever's in our control, and then whatever is not, we just have to let go of, and you can't hold on to it. And we do our best to live at peace with everyone. If you think that if somebody has an issue with you or says they have an issue with you, even if it really wasn't your intention or you didn't mean to, or it really wasn't because of you at all, like you said, we just go forward with an apology. Hey, I'm sorry. Let's make this right. What can I do to make our relationship better? What can I do to maybe not do something in the future? And just try to do your best to help the team thrive and not be a stumbling block for somebody else on the team, even if it isn't your fault, but that's leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that comes with some like raw and authentic conversations as well. And I think that's part, like, the one of the biggest part of the conflict resolution is when you can come up to someone and be like, listen, when you said shut up the other day, like, that junk hurt. Like, can we talk about this? Like, and it kind of throws them off their heels and they're like, wait, what did I say? I'm like, you can get the toughest person to be like, I didn't realize that that would affect you because they don't understand it. So when we can have those raw conversations with someone, raw, not meaning, you know, disrespectful, because that's a fine line, but raw where you have candor and you tell the person, listen, you know, when you said XYZ, when you demanded I did, you know, whatever you demanded I did, like, I didn't like that very much. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind maybe asking me in a different manner next time. And I think when we have those raw conversations with each other, it elevates respect. It takes that demeaning relationship that sometimes leaders and followers have, or even followers with followers have. And it levels the ground and says, hey, I'm a human being. Hey, I deserve to be spoken to correctly. And it does it in a respectful manner. And I feel like that's the basis of saying, okay, well, now I know I'm not going to on purpose hurt you again. I just didn't realize that me communicating in that manner really affected you thusly. So I feel like when conflicts have those raw conversations, that takes us to a place of resolution easier. It eliminates all the junk around.
Love that. And I think that goes back to what you and me were saying at the beginning too, of building a culture that develops relationships, because at the end of the day, it's people are people, and our team has to have a strong relationship. And part of building relationships is having those difficult conversations of being honest and saying when you hurt my feelings. And that eliminates, I think, a majority of conflicts just right off the bat is personality conflicts, which is so common in teams. When we rub each other the wrong way, it's uncomfortable to have those conversations too. But like you said, even as kids, we learn if we express ourselves, then we could end up having amazing friendships down the line. And I think that's really important for any team.
I know that it's funny that you bring that up, because I thought I was thinking about it. And maybe, I don't know, was it 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when I came into a job fresh, I'm a type of person that I want to understand. If I can understand you, I can, you know, back you up fully. And so I came into the situation where my boss, not that the person was a dictator at all, but the person was just very used to saying, hey, we want X, Y, and Z, and this is how we're doing it, and that's it, which is totally okay, especially in some realms of business. But here, I just wanted to understand. So I would question. I said, hey, why are we doing it this way? Or hey, why are we doing it that way? And my thought was, I'm just coming because I want to understand. And it wasn't disrespectful at all. But the person didn't like the questioning. The person was like, your questioning is a challenge to me. And so it was like, listen, we're doing this and that's it, because I know, because I've been here, because this is how we do it. And I was like, what happened? What happened here? I don't understand what happened. And for the podcast listeners, I'm very visual with my reactions. So I apologize if my voice isn't doing the acting it needs to do.
Puerto Rican, so there's a lot of hands gestures happening right now that you don't
very
see.
Very much hands gestures and facial expressions. And so basically I told the person, I had to go up and I, you know, went into their office, said, hey, do you have a minute? Talk. They were like, yeah. I closed the door. I was like, listen, I'm sorry that, you know, my questioning seems as a challenge, but I'm not trying to challenge your authority. Heck, at that point, I didn't want the person's authority. I didn't want to be responsible for what they were responsible for. I just wanted to understand why we were doing X, Y, Z, because I was still in a learning curve. Like, I wanted to learn why this happens. I want to understand why. I'm such a contextual person that if I can understand it, that's my buy-in right there. Like, I will be loyal to you. I will follow you. I will help you. I will support you. And it was funny, as I said that I wasn't challenging the person, my boss was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, listen, I'm just context. Like, I'm just asking for context. And they were like, okay, understood. Thank you for having this conversation with me. After that, every conversation or every meeting that we would have, that I would ask the question back, hey, you know, why are we doing this? They would break it down for me. And I was like, oh, that makes entire sense. Like, now I'm understanding better and I can help form, you know, decisions in the future. I can help build those environments. And when other team members disagreed with a certain, you know, with a certain decision, I was like, yeah, but, you know, X, Y, and Z is why we're doing it. So wouldn't it just make sense to do X, Y, and Z? And the people sometimes would take it personal and be mad at me. And others were like, you know what, that makes sense. I never saw it in that manner, why we do what we do. And so then it goes all the way back to the why. So there's bigger rooted conflicts sometimes within little situations that if we just had more understanding, if we just had that boldness with people. And so that was just kind of funny. That was a situation that brought up to me as a conflict that I, you know, addressed, and it completely changed the whole relationship that I had with that boss.
in my case as well, almost every conflict that I've had, as uncomfortable as it was, when it was resolved, when it was over, those people like suddenly became right in my corner. Like, yeah. I apologized to them or whatever the situation was, like we dealt with the issue. But then at the end of the day, like from that day on, I felt like they were just like champs in my corner. Like if I ever had an issue, they would go to bat for me. Like they would have conflicts with other people on my behalf.
Yes.
And it's just, it's amazing how conflict really can draw you closer as a team or just any relationship, friendship, whatever the case may be, boss or employee relationship as well. It's just when you've been through conflict together too, that's where it really solidifies the relationship and makes you stronger. So conflict can either break or make you as a team. And we want it to make all the teams that are listening. We're in your corner too. We want you to successfully navigate conflict so that it can make you guys stronger.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership U podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeru.org.